Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey. Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing, episode 34. And today, Anna, we're talking about love.
love.
Being from Yorkshire, we say love.
Right, I'll try. So I started thinking about this subject because it was Valentine's Day, and it probably isn't anywhere near that now that people are listening to it. We've gone on a bit anyway, a week later or so. But I was thinking about love in writing then. That's what set me off. And the fact that I think, but people could argue, that lots of other genres use love, not just romantic fiction.
Yeah.
This is what I was thinking. So I wasn't thinking that we're going to talk so much about romantic fiction itself, although we may end up. But just the fact that even if you read a crime novel, there's usually an aspect of it, your space opera, there can be love in a space opera.
That sounds like a song, Love in the Space Opera.
And in history.
Yeah.
And then I thought about something I'd heard and really liked on television, which was Lucy Worsley talking about history. And she was talking about arguably the first novel ever, but certainly people think of it as the first romantic novel, which is Pamela by Samuel Richardson. And the influence it had on people's idea about love that we even still feel now. And so then I started off thinking about that and how powerful writing can be. And actually, a lot of women writers after that, particularly Jane Austen, who liked reading his books, Richardson's books, have coloured the way we think of romance and love now. And I know there is other sorts of love in the world, and I'm in great favour of respecting those, such as friendship and family and those kinds of love, and world love. But for the sake of this conversation, I'm looking to narrow it down a bit more.
Okay.
I'm thinking about romantic love and how it's developed in our minds. And what I suppose I started thinking, what is it about Valentine's Day anyway? And then I looked into the history of it, and it turns out it's a Christian thing to do with Saint Valentine. But Saint Valentine didn't do anything about birds or love or...
Birds?
Lovebirds.
Okay.
Or little hearts and flowers.
When you said birds, I thought you meant women.
No, I wouldn't do that. But I'm right down here. What he did... He helped someone who was blind. That's what he did. So, well, it's a great thing to do, but it wasn't to do with what we think about Valentine cards and things like that. So, then how did it happen? Well, a bit later, quite a lot later, because that would have been early Christianity, and the whole Valentine thing seems to have kicked off in the 14th and 15th century with a few poems.
It's about time it was done with then.
Probably. And then I thought of a very sad thing that had happened recently that we've talked about just now, which was to do with a death in Valentine's period. And it's such a powerful thing in our culture that there must be love. And by that I mean mostly heterosexual, it has been up to now. Getting better, but mostly everlasting love, not love for 2 weeks or 2 years. It's the proper one. Well, the one.
Yeah.
I wrote underneath on my brainstorm here, I wrote the one, and then I wrote lol under it. Because it's a double meaning, and I rather like that. Love of life, your love of life, the love of your life, or lol, ha ha. But I will stop talking in a minute. But I'll just tell you that a crime writer I like, Sarah Paretsky, she has lovers in her stories. She hasn't married any of them yet. She's had three.
She's not committed.
No, but they've been long relationships, okay, and proper relationships, I would say. And so that, to me, is more of a parallel to what expectations are like these days, or people's real lives can be like that. There may not be just the one, and there may not be any for that matter. And life goes on, and you still can have a very fulfilled life. But there's this idea that prevails that you have to have found the one.
Do you know... You know when you said you're going to stop talking? I'm kind of like, no, Anna, we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, that means you're right. Okay, it's not a monologue, it's a conversation.
Okay. Well, we agreed that this was the topic we were going to talk about. Yeah. And as usual, I came at it from a completely different angle. Yeah. But I'd just like to say, I don't like romance. Well, I say that. I don't like romance, but I like romance in something else. And I also like Nalini Singh, which is romance. The main story is romance, but there's always lots of other action going off. But it's still marketed, and I would agree that it's still primarily romance. And yet... I like it, and I'm kind of like, how can you? I say I don't like romance, but like, and Ilona Andrews as well. Although it's with hers, it's like typical of urban fantasy. Is there is romance in there, but it's kind of a slow burn. Mm-hmm. So you have to read a few books to get the relationship going. There's just the promise of it initially. So I like that as well, but I was kind of trying to work out why that is different. So Nalini Singh, she writes I think it's like a rock star series, which I'm not so keen on, because that is just literally about the relationships with a bit of a band in the background. But her Side Change novels and Archangel novels are very much, there's a story going alongside the relationship that really impacts on the relationship and vice versa. And that is so much more interesting.
So maybe it's quite important to have another aspect, like an adventure or like some history or... In a political situation.
I think my problem is I don't like too much predictability, as you know. I like a little bit of a surprise, and I like it to take me somewhere that so I don't know where I'm going. And the problem with romance is quite often it is a formula.
Yeah.
And people buy it because it is a formula.
And another reason is you try and be truthful in writing. I think we all try and be truthful in our writing. But it's hard to be truthful about this subject, because if you're in a relationship with another human being, a love relationship, I think a lot of the things that make a good one are things like respect and equality. Sometimes it's love in action. I would call that doing boring stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like putting the bins out or...
changing the bed sheets.
Yeah. And so therefore, that sort of stuff isn't exciting.
Mm.
And we can't put that in a novel because nobody would want to read it. And they also wouldn't want to read He Meets Her, or even He Meets Him, and is happy ever after and that's it.
Yeah.
There has to be more to it, doesn't there? There has to probably be a three in the picture.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Story Grid. So I was reading that's the angle I came at it from. So I was reading What Does Sean Coyne Say About What Makes a Love Story or Romance. And basically it's a relationship between two people. It's not a friendship, is that romantic element has got to be in there. And you basically, moving from, so they, he talks about having a global value. So the story would take you from a relationship where you've got hate pretending to be love, mm-hmm. to desire or intimacy or commitment. So not, so one of those three things, it doesn't, or maybe more than one of those three things, but it's got to include one of those three things.
And it's got to include a movement from somewhere to somewhere else.
Yeah, and there's a, it's kind of a table, and it takes, if I read you the actual table,
yeah.
but you don't have to go through each one in a story, it's just that you do have to go through some of them in some sort of logical way. So you've potentially got two people in a relationship where they hate each other but are pretending to love each other. Yeah. And that can move to hate. It can move to indifference. It can move to repulsion, ignorance, attraction, before you get to desire and what have you. But so that's just the global value, so that's what your story arc, I suppose, is.
Yeah.
But then it's got, so he says that secondary story, you always needs a secondary story to give it that element, that uniqueness, so that you're not just two people meet and blah de blah de blah. But you have to go through, lovers meet, so they've got to meet. Mm. Although sometimes they've met in childhood, haven't they? Or
very occasionally they don't meet, like that famous one about a bookshop where they just write to each other.
Yeah. But I suppose in a way they've met, haven't they?
Sort of.
Or connected.
Yeah, connected.
And then you've got to have your insight and incident.
Mm-hmm.
So something that upsets the balance and the status quo and sets off the story. And then you've got to have at least one of the lovers has got to refuse to respond to the other. You can have both that decide that they don't want the relationship, but at least one of them has got to decide, otherwise story's over.
Yeah.
And there's some suggestion as well that between the two lovers, you've got your protagonist and you've got your antagonist.
Mm.
So one of them is a protagonist and one of them is the antagonist, because they're stopping each other get what they want. Yeah. They're the primary forces.
Yeah.
Now, I think, like, when I think of Nalini Singh, she usually has another element that stops.
An outside thing.
Yeah.
So, external happening or something.
Yeah, so like a death sentence or something. It's something quite dramatic, usually. which I think is what it appeals to me, that. So, and the initial strategy of the protagonist fails.
Yeah.
So if they're trying to initiate the love affair, or maybe escape the love affair, it fails. And then you've got to have the confession of love at some point from either one or both. The first kiss or sex, depending how steamy we're going.
How modern we are. Yeah. I'm thinking Bridget Jones. Yeah. I was thinking about in the film where she runs out in her coat.
And her knickers. And then you've got to have the breakup or the forced apart.
Yeah.
So one of them's kidnapped, or they have to separate for their own safety or whatever. And then you've got the all is lost moment where they're never going to get together. And then you've got to have the proof of love scene. Bridget Jones.
Mm. So the fact he went to get the diary, even when he'd read some terrible things about himself in her diary, he went to buy her a new one.
Was that in
Bridget Jones 1?
Yeah. I think he set up the interview for her as well, though, didn't he?
In the second one, I think.
Was that no, I think that's the first one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good proof.
Because she was trying to be a
professional life.
And the proof of a love, as the key thing is, it's got to have no, whoever's proving the love, has got to have no expectations that the other person's going to see it for what it is. So
it's not a strategy, it's a genuine proof.
A genuine sacrifice. And then you've got to have lovers reunite. And the protagonist is rewarded. I suppose you can have all that in one scene. But yeah, you can see how you do need those elements. And were you talking about Mills and Boone? Or yes. Did I read that?
No, we did talk about it briefly. Because who was it you were talking about who had learned their trade by...
Well,
I said they used to have a cassette telling you how to do it.
Ah, that's it.
But there's someone quite well known who had done that originally, but then moved on. I can't think who we were talking about.
Was it Barbara Cartland?
No, I don't think. Well, she wrote those kind of books.
Did she stick? She stuck to the Mills and Boone.
It was more like that sort of formula. Yeah, I think we were talking about how it used to be that you had to not go in the bedroom.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the thing is that now you can.
Yeah, you're straight in the bedroom.
Yeah. which may not be an advantage, because often the most moving bits, like in Jane Austen, have been moments of suggestion rather than telling you exactly how it is. I'm not sure if it's that good, the full reveal.
I think it's really hard to write, not just sex scenes, but it's really hard to write convincing love stories, I think, and to make them different and unique.
And what we were talking about a bit before, when we were thinking to do this, was the fact that sex came into this equation quite late in terms of what was expected, both in real life but in literature as well. Because things like The Scandal with Lady Chatterley's Lover by D.H. Lawrence, that shows you that it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
That things like that would have been so shocking.
Yeah.
Just before that, there was a story by Radcliffe Hall about lesbian love, and that was shocking too.
Yeah.
And now there's much more openness about those kinds of things. But early on, things were hinted at a lot more than actually said, and maybe weren't even expected in real life, because I think that was what I was telling you about the British romance history of that I'd heard, which was really good, which was that women in marriages didn't necessarily expect to have an interesting sex life until Mary Stopes came along and wrote a book called Married Love, in which she talked about sexual satisfaction as being important to a marriage, which wasn't the assumption at the time particularly.
I think that's still potentially a real problem.
People expecting that?
That women still don't expect satisfaction in marriage necessarily, or even in relationships. You know, when you see young people that have sex and they have sex because to be wanted or because it's expected, and not necessarily because...
Definitely, more like pressure.
Yeah.
But in something like Jane Austen, and she wasn't the only one, but at that time, the idea of romantic love was very bound up with property, and her happy endings all involved great big mansions and things like that, and there were more economic reasons for having to tie yourself to someone else.
Well, you couldn't make a living, could you, as a female?
No.
So, or not very easily. So, and you couldn't own property, and so that it was needs must, wasn't it?
So what's quite exciting about our time is that we can get away from the idea that women in a story have to be bound to somebody for property or money reasons, because now a lot of women can be adventurous.
I really struggle as well with books that... because there are still a lot of books out there that do think it's a happy ending to have a man dominate them, or to have a strong man who's possessive and actually would be arrested if he behaved like that.
Yeah.
in real life. I think that that's quite dangerous.
There's some people that I know I wouldn't like to read that are on that side.
Mm.
But I thought I might suggest an exercise to people who want to write about love today.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, I learned from my mum. Which she went on a course and did this, and I thought, this sounds like a good, interesting thing. And it's something you can do. You do first of all on your own, but next, preferably with a group of people. And what it was, they were given the word love, and they had to write down individually on paper about four words that they associate with the word love. And then, afterwards, when they'd written their own thing, they shared that in groups, and of course, what happened was lots of people had written different words.
Okay.
And it made me think of the opposition of just two of those possible words I had written down. For example, some people might have written security about love, and some people might have written adventure.
Yeah.
So there are lots of opposites.
Yeah.
And fascinating things. Without wanting to lead people too much into what words they could write. But I thought it might be a useful exercise for anyone thinking of having a love aspect to a story, would be to see what words come out of their mind straight away.
Mm. And then ask someone else.
What you connect with that word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Have we reached a natural end,
do you think? I think so.
I think we do, but I think it'd be good to sometime look at the wider implications of the word love. Not just romantic. This time we've stuck to romantic more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Future pod.
Yeah, future pod.
Okay.
Bye
for now. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.